Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner. And Anthony McCarthy joins me this hour. Of course, you're going to hear him solo this Friday, the same time slot on the Anthony McCarthy Show. We're going to spend the first part of this program talking about the primary elections that took place yesterday. And one of our guests in the course of this hour, in the first part of our show, is going to be Aaron Swartz, who is co-founder of the Progressive Change Campaign Committee, which supported candidate Bill Halter in his Arkansas state primary that he lost to Blanche Lincoln. And they didn't just support him. And this was a huge effort on the side of progressives to say that enough is enough with Blanche Lincoln. We're going to talk about what happened there and then look at some other races as well. And Aaron, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. You all can join us out there, 410-319-8888. Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. So, I was thinking about this morning, watching all the emails that came through about the Halter campaign. And this is clearly a very disappointing day for you. But talk a bit about what happened and what this means as you analyze what happened.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it started for us during the healthcare fight when we were fighting really hard for the public option. And what we saw was that Blanche Lincoln was one of the handful of senators who was really standing in the way. And in fact, she's bragged in her campaign commercials about standing in the way. And at the time, the opportunity to kind of pressure her and do things was limited. But then when she was up for reelection, we thought, now is a chance to really send a message to the whole country that by ignoring your constituents, siding with big campaign contributors, and doing things that, our polls showed a majority of Arkansans didn't want her to do, you have to be held accountable for that. And so our hope was, through Bill Halter, a progressive challenger who supported the public option, who fought for little people, we could really make a clear distinction between senators who were supported by their campaign contributors and senators supported by ordinary people.
Now, Aaron, this is Anthony McCarthy. I have a question for you specifically about your challenge to Blanche Lincoln, and we're going to talk about a lot of these other campaigns as well. Was there any concern on the part of progressives? I have a lot of friends who work for the unions here in Baltimore, and they're very disappointed today, but they acknowledge that they took some heat for challenging an incumbent senior Democrat who they wanted to hold accountable. But we're afraid that in a state like Arkansas, which is already trending Republican, to take out an incumbent, there may be some cost to that and some intra-party fight that will continue past this primary for progressives and moderates in Arkansas and in the Democratic Party. Were you all concerned at all at using Blanche Lincoln, holding her accountable for her health care votes and her other votes, that you may be hurting the Democratic Party?
There's no question that whenever you try and hold people accountable within the party, you're going to have an intra-party fight. But I think that's just part of the necessary process for pushing things forward. I mean, we're at a position where the Democrats control the White House, they control the Senate, they control the House, and yet we still see a lot of, basic fundamental things that the majority of Americans in every state support that don't get done. And it doesn't get done not because of the Republicans, but because of these corporate Democrats. And so I think the only way we're going to see the real change that Obama campaigned on and that most Americans want is by taking on these corporate Democrats. But to think this weakens the party, I think that's built on this mistaken notion that being a corporate Democrat is popular. It's not. Mm. Even in Arkansas, people don't like the insurance companies. They don't like the banks. They don't like big corporations. And we saw that with the polling. Blanche Lincoln consistently polled worse against the Republican than Bill Halter. If Bill Halter had been nominated, we would have had a real shot at winning this seat in Arkansas for the Senate. Now that Blanche Lincoln is the nominee, I just don't see any way she's going to be able to win against the Republican candidate.
But Bill Clinton called you all manipulative, and Blanche Lincoln in her victory speech called you all insiders. It was almost as if the tables were turned on progressives.
Yeah, this is something you see conservatives do all the time. They kind of prevent you from criticizing them.
That's right.
Whatever criticism you might use against you first. So we're the insiders, we're the outside forces, we're the special interests. But of course, we all know it's the big corporations who are the DC insiders and the special interests.
I wonder what you see in this election, though. I mean, this year is full of contradictions and strange things going on in almost every election that we watch. And in this particular one, when you have polls that tell you that most people are angry at corporations and angry about the health care bill for all kinds of very complex reasons, not always the same reasons, and that Halter may have been a better candidate against the Republican candidate, yet he lost. So what is that? I'm very curious what that says to you. I mean, what is this? You know, when I wrote Adam Green about one of y'all coming on the show this afternoon, one of the things I wrote to him was, in some strange way, this is, you know, y'all put up a serious battle. And it may say a lot just that progressives could get this far in a mostly white southern state called Arkansas.
Yeah, no, I think it says an enormous amount. You know, this is a state that, you know, people don't think of as like a progressive bulwark state. And we came within a couple points in challenging, you know, a 16-year sitting incumbent senator with $10 million in the bank. I think it shows that there definitely is, you know, room for people to stand up against corporations now. And that's something that would have been unthinkable even a little while ago, the idea that you could just have a bunch of grassroots supporters coming online, people signing up through our website, boldprogressives.org, chipping in. You know, Bill Halter didn't run on, you know, $1,000 donations like Blanche Lincoln did. He got, you know, an average contribution of $30. And the notion that you could run a campaign that way is just a completely new development. And I think, you know, this is the first cycle we're seeing it really happening. But if we keep pushing and keep fighting, we're going to be able to change the way politics works.
But the other side of that is that one of the ways they got to your campaign, the campaign for Bill Halter, was by calling you outsiders, because so many people involved in this campaign were not from Arkansas, but were from labor unions, other places, other progressive groups from all over the country, people calling from other states to convince them to come out and vote. And how much of that is could have hurt you and hurt this campaign, because people like to think of their campaigns as belonging to them, and this they were able to label you as outsiders.
You know, I think, you know, they're always going to throw whatever they can think of against us. But I think it's, you know, in this case, it was especially ridiculous considering Blanche Lincoln lives in Virginia. She tried to vote in the election and she was turned away because she had registered to vote at her house in Virginia instead of Arkansas. So I think the notion that, you know, we're these sort of D.C. outsiders coming in is really ridiculous. We're the ones actually on the ground here in Arkansas, and we were working with our Arkansas members. We were working with, you know, grassroots groups on the ground. We were just knocking on doors, getting people to come into the office and volunteer. And we saw this real local energy of hundreds of volunteers coming in, making tens of thousands of phone calls on election day. You know, the kind of energy you don't see on Blanche Lincoln's campaign, where she has a bunch of D.C. consultants who write scripts for TV ads and they go up on the air all from a headquarters in Washington.
So I'm curious where you see this now, and where PCCC and the Bold Progressives are going to go next.
In the broader sense.
In the broader sense.
In this political sense that Mark has been talking about.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think what we have to do, you know, obviously this loss was a huge blow, but I think the fact we got so close shows that there's real potential here. And what we're going to try and do now is take on a couple of House races. You know, they're not as big and expensive as a Senate race, but they still have a real impact. You know, we've seen with congressmen like Alan Grayson, just one congressman who's been able to push dozens of bills through, raise things to a national profile.
From Florida, right.
You know, if we get just a couple more people like him into the House, it can make a real impact, even though they're much smaller races and they'd be easier to raise money for and win. So we've got a couple really exciting House races that we're looking at and going to try and win those going into November.
Are those the ones I saw on your website? The one, I don't have the names in my head, but it's Stein from Rhode Island, is that right?
Yeah, David Siegel in Rhode Island.
Siegel, right.
Probably our most exciting candidate. He's just this incredible progressive activist. He's been in the State House for 8 years now, but just has this amazing way of bringing outside groups into the State House, coordinating with them on legislative strategy and hearings and building coalitions. And just, you know, I've never seen anything like it, the way he's able to integrate the kind of inside lobbying work with the outside groups. And having him in the U.S. Congress would just be amazing.
And there's a woman in New Hampshire you're backing.
Yeah, that's right. In New Hampshire, Ann McLean Custer, who's
right
up against Katrina Sweat, who is Joe Lieberman's national co-chair. Mm-hmm. So this is another case where we can really, in a primary, show, you know, a clear distinction between the kind of Lieberman Democrats and the progressive fighters.
Let me ask you, Aaron, a lot of energy this year going towards keeping the Democrats in control of the House and the Senate. And if we talk about it a lot, we see a lot of fundraising going to make sure that the White House keeps a Democratic team in the House and the Senate. Is there any redemption in your mind for people like Blanche Lincoln? Could the progressives get behind someone like a Blanche Lincoln, like some of the other more, quote unquote, moderate Democrats in an effort just to keep the House and the Senate in Democratic hands so that the agenda that you all are talking about, the agenda that Obama campaigned on, took some hits from progressives this week in Washington at the conference, but that the bridge could be built to keep Democrats in control?
You know, I mean, I wouldn't say anybody's unsalvageable. Certainly, Blanche Lincoln has made some good strides with her work on financial regulation.
Yes, she has.
She snuck a couple loopholes in.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, I'd really like to see, you know, I'm hoping that the populist energy, that the progressive movement that people are seeing on these campaigns encourages these senators to, you know, listen to their constituents, you know, support tougher financial regulation, support a stronger health care bill, support things like that. And, you know, if we see that, we might be more inclined to support them. But this notion that, you know, oh, we just need to get behind the Democrats because if we lose the House, you know, everything goes down in tubes. I mean, there's some truth to it, but there's also real truth that by having these sort of conservative Democrats on your side, they can do a lot more damage than just another Republican can. You know, if you're just a Republican, you're a solid no vote, you really don't have much impact on things. But if you're a conservative Democrat, you know, you're inside the caucus, you can water bills down from the inside, you can do these negotiating tactics to try and make the bill more conservative. And so it's a, you know, I don't think there's any set rule that you can use to decide when one is better than the other, but I think it's a real question that you have to look at case by case.
Well, do you think that the halt of forces are now going to back Blanche Lincoln?
You know, I certainly think, you know, Democrats are going to vote for the Democrat in the primary. There's no question about that. Or the Democrat in the general election, there's no question about that. But I think people are, you know, and quite rightly, going to save their money and their energy and their volunteer time for progressive candidates who really fight for the issues they believe in. And we see that, you know, at the same time, Bill Holter lost the runoff. Joyce Elliott, a really strong progressive congressional candidate for the House here in Little Rock, won her runoff. And so I think what you'll see is progressives are going to spend their time helping people like her get elected in November and not people like Blanche.
You know, I want to ask you, because Mark asked you earlier in the conversation, and I'm not sure if I heard the answer. I was fascinated as I watched last night, and a lot of the polling numbers showed Holter doing much better. Matter of fact, winning against the Republican challenger in November, Blanche Lincoln polling so far behind the Republican challenger. How did that get flip-flopped in this primary? Were we just dealing with primary voters, Democratic voters, and in the general, the wide, I guess, the broader voters in Arkansas? How did Bill Holter lose in a primary where he was actually polling better than the incumbent against the challenger in November?
You know, that's a really good question, and I think a lot of it just comes to the fact that, you know, most people in Arkansas, they just didn't get that message. You know, Blanche Lincoln had way more money than we did. She had way more name recognition. You know, we started out this race points behind. And so I think a lot of people just kind of got the conventional wisdom in their head that, oh, Blanche Lincoln, you know, she's the senator. She's always been the senator. She always will be the senator. We can't let this challenger interfere with things. And people just, you know, I mean, most people aren't political junkies. They don't read the polls like you
true.
Or I do, and they just didn't hear the word.
Very true.
Aaron Schwartz, I appreciate you coming on. Looking forward to talking to you a great deal more during the course of this election year, and I wish you all the luck. Thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
Take care, Aaron.
Aaron Schwartz, co-founder of the Progressive Change Campaign Committee, which supported Bill Holter in the Arkansas State Senate primary and is doing similar work around the country. Again, Aaron, thank you so much. Anthony, well, that's one race.
That's one race, a very exciting race because, you know, Mark, before yesterday, I'll tell you, and, you know, Aaron makes a very good point. A lot of this, I guess, is inside baseball because I follow it. You follow it. I know a lot of other progressives and people who like politics follow it. Maybe the general populace does it. But in the great broader sense, Blanche Lincoln was considered dead politically. There was no way she was going to beat Bill Holter. And I think that was one of the big stories of last night. Women really roared in once again, like they did a couple of years ago, really took control of both the Republican Party and, I guess, Blanche Lincoln's surprise victory last night.
Right. In California?
In California, in Arkansas with Blanche Lincoln, in Nevada, South Carolina, women won.
Republican women.
Republican women, very progressive Republican women.
What do you mean by progressive?
in California, both Whitman and I don't want to massacre her name, so let me stop right now. Carly Fiorina.
Yeah.
Both support choice. Both support gay civil rights.
Right, right.
I mean, that kind of, they're progressive women, but they are Republicans. And they have Whitman polling very good against Jerry Brown, former two-term governor, now attorney general of California, making a bid to go back to the state house as the governor. Whitman, of course, the former eBay CEO. Carly, I'm a mess her name. Fiorina, of course, very well known.
That's right.
During the McCain campaign, both Whitman and Fiorina, very involved in the McCain campaign. And she, of course, with Hewlett-Packard, former CEO of Hewlett-Packard. These Republican women are making this a very exciting time for Californians. Barbara Boxer, who has never had a serious challenger in all of her tenure in the United States Senate, is going to really have to be on her game. And all the polls show that Barbara Boxer, a liberal progressive Democrat in a state like California, which trends Democratic, but elected Arnold Schwarzenegger, which says
Ronald
Reagan. That's right. She really is in for her political fight of her life against this dynamic, well-spoken, well-financed. Both Whitman and Carla are very wealthy, self-financed candidates who don't really have to rely on a lot of contributions.
And I wonder that watching these women win, I wonder if there isn't a Palin effect here, in that whether you like Sarah Palin or not, and whether you agree with her politics or not, she took her party and people in her party by storm.
She sure did.
Mm-hmm. She's still the poster lady for their party in many ways, you know.
And the Tea Party.
And the Tea Party.
Mm-hmm.
And that this might have energized a lot of Republican women to run.
Well, I think that to their credit and to Sarah Palin's credit, she supported Fiorina in California. She supported the Republican gubernatorial candidate in South Carolina. She really has a really good record when it comes to her endorsed candidates on behalf of the Tea Party and other activists in the Republican Party. I think that, Mark, this year, and I forget the percentage, I heard it on NPR this morning, this is one of the largest percentages of Republican women running for the Senate, the House, and the state houses ever. Republican women have really stepped out. Now, many of them are of the Sarah Palin ilk, that they are conservative and that they are challenging the power structure in their own party. And so I think it's a very exciting time for those of us who love politics and love movements, because the Tea Party, Mark, for all of the questions about race and I guess what their platform really is, it is a movement that really has legs in this country.
Well, we'll see what those legs do in the general election.
Very good point. But they've really caused a lot to happen during these primaries.
There are 3 points that Robert Kramer brought up that I want to bring up and see what you and everybody else thinks at 410-319-8888. Here with Anthony McCarthy as we talk about yesterday's election. 410-319-8888 is the number here. What are your thoughts on where this is all going? And let's go to Rhonda in Bel Air. You're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hi, Rhonda.
Hi, I'm enjoying the conversation, and I just wanted to, I guess, interject. One of the points Anthony made was about Carly Fiorina, and that is a tongue twister. So I don't fault you for that. I actually had the pleasure of reading an article in the Washington Post last week, and it actually indicated that she is not pro-choice.
Really?
Yes, and she is anti-gay marriage, and she also was fired by the board of directors.
That's
of,
right.
Hewlett-Packard. And the article went on to say that she is endorsed by Sarah Palin. However, that may not be to her benefit.
Not in California, but
absolutely. So I just wanted to say, you know, if the Washington Post article is correct, then Carly Fiorina is on the right and not pro-choice.
Mm. Is she anti? I mean, is she against Roe v. Wade from what you read? Is she against?
She is pro-life. Yes, she's anti-abortion and she is anti same-sex marriage, according to the article.
Interesting.
That's interesting.
Thank you, Rhonda, so much.
Thank you, Rhonda.
Jumping into the fray here.
These really bright listeners you have, Mark Steiner.
I do.
But the interesting thing about that is that in California, Mark, as you just said, California politics is this great mix of libertarian, progressives, and certainly conservatives like Ronald Reagan and people who like Tom Campbell and others who ran against Carly Fiorina were trying to, I guess, out-conservative each other. And Tom Campbell, of course, is a moderate in California. And a lot of people said he was the best choice, not the best, but best hope for folks to...
against Barbara Boxer.
Against Boxer. We'll see. Like you said, we'll see in November what happens with this sea change, quote unquote, that's taking place within the Republican Party. And the interesting thing, Mark, is, and I think people have asked you this before, be interesting to hear what our listeners think about this. Is the Tea Party movement, I mean, we see it came out in strong support of the Republican gubernatorial candidate who's in a runoff now in South Carolina. But is it a good thing for the Republican Party? Or ultimately, will it be the thing, like in Nevada, a Tea Party candidate is going to take on the majority leader? He, like Blanche Lincoln, was considered dead politically. Now, the polls that came out today, Mark, show that he is pulled even with, and in some polls, pulling ahead of this candidate chosen over the Republican machine candidate to challenge him in Nevada.
And if Utah is one of those states that is a Tea Party kind of state.
You know? Seems like the demographic fits.
It's a very conservative Republican state. And I think Democrats can maybe win the mayor of Salt Lake City, but not a lot else, unless you're really conservative yourself. I think it's interesting. One of the things that I was thinking about, and this Robert Creamer posited today, was that he sees that the Tea Party is an extremist cancer inside the Republican Party that is going to destroy the Republican Party from inside. You're watching New York implode in the Republican Party. There's some evidence to that. The Republican Party is having some issues here around the Tea Party, though it seems stronger than it has been in some ways, the Republican Party here. And that the same thing could happen around the country, that the Tea Party cannot kind of reach out and touch majority voters in places like California, New York, outside the – which one's red? Outside the blue states.
Uh-huh.
Blue is Democrat.
Blue,
right?
Is Democrat.
Right. Red outside
Republican.
The red states. Red, white, blue. I forget which one's which.
Uh-huh.
Maybe they're killing the Republican Party. Some people say they're growing the Republican Party. It's hard. I don't know.
I don't know either. But I find it fascinating to watch that if we could talk for a moment about what happened in South Carolina, which got a lot of press.
We were talking about this yesterday.
That's right. Right. The governor, Sanford, is leaving office. Of course, he, with the huge cloud over his head, he had an affair, left his state for a few days, disappeared, and came back and refused to step down. His wife left him a lot of press about his life. Now, one of his mentees, very fascinating situation. I'm looking on my list here to find her name, and I don't see it right at the top of here. But anyway, at any rate, she won the primary after being accused, Mark, of having two affairs outside of her marriage. She is very interesting. Some racial things there in South Carolina around her ethnicity and her religion. And so I find it fascinating. She was able to endure, not only endure, but to get in a runoff there, which really is going to test. Now, she is a Tea Party candidate. Sarah Palin has endorsed her, is planning to go back to the state to campaign for her. It'll be very fascinating to see if she is able to pull this off. It is a fascinating race, and I just can't wait to see what's going to happen there.
Well, I mean, I think that I'm sure what the listeners think. 410-319-8888, 410-319-8888. What does this politics say to you from other states? And what do you think about these women who have won and whether they kind of move here or not? And the elections that took place in all these states, we're seeing people being bounced out of office who've been in office for a long time. And we're seeing people who we've never heard of before that are kind of taking off, and I'm going to find this thing right here for us to talk about. But I think that, you know, it's hard to say where this is going to end up. I think that the Republicans are going to regain power in certain states.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to push ahead in South Carolina. They're going to push ahead. I have a feeling that Reid is not going to lose in Utah. I think he's going to pull ahead. I think that the Tea Party is going to kind of help implode this Republican Party a little bit. And I think the Democrats, I mean, I think this progressive challenge has forced people like Blanche Lincoln to take more progressive stance in the last month or so in Congress. I mean, she's pushed hard for this derivative issue in Congress, where she wants not allowing banks to be able to sell derivatives unless they have enough funding inside of them, and other issues. She might not have done that if she'd not been challenged by Bill Halter.
That's right.
And I think that this is a very volatile year.
And what kind of message, Mark, is the electorate trying to send Barack Obama? Progressives gathered in Washington this week for their annual conference, and they really took Obama to task on a whole slew of issues, including the war, including some of the financial issues, including lobbying. They talked about health care and the public option. A progressive feel in many ways portrayed by the president, Barack Obama, although they came out in record numbers for the candidate, Barack Obama. And will voters who are sending and moderate Republicans, conservative Republicans, libertarian Republicans, will voters be in the mood, Mark, for more change and send a message to Barack Obama and the Democrats that, you know what, we appreciate you as a human being, because we see polls where people say, look, I like the fact that we've elected a black president. I like the fact that Barack Obama is our president. But guess what? I don't think he's doing enough. I don't think he's moving fast enough. And I don't think he is as progressive as we thought he was
going
to be.
There's a lot of one-term talk going on.
There is.
And
that's going to make a lot of people upset.
And Haley is also –
Haley.
In South Carolina is also a woman who was raised as a Sikh in her religion.
It's fascinating.
And so it's a very – very, very different.
A state senator there, Mark, in South Carolina, made a comment that we already have a raghead in the White House and we don't need a raghead in the state house. Now, that was a Republican senator talking about Hallie, who is the candidate now, or actually she's in a runoff to be the gubernatorial candidate. She's very close to Mark Stanford. All of the Republicans in South Carolina denounced his comments, and he apologized for the remark. But this is going to be a fascinating time to watch. Republicans, will they find their sea legs, or will this Tea Party, which Mike Steele and a whole lot of other Republicans tried to embrace in the beginning, will the Tea Party knock the legs out from under this Republican Party?
Let's see what our listeners think. 410-319-8888. And Sharon in Baltimore, you're on the air.
Mark, hi, Anthony.
Hey, Sharon.
Hi,
welcome.
Sharon. You there, Sharon?
Carly Fiorona. There are a lot of women entering the political arena, and I'm very, very happy about that.
Mm-hmm.
I just really want women to just look as closely at these women as they look as closely at the men, and don't vote for them simply because they're women. Because Carly Fiorina, for one, has a lot of faults. She was fired by HP over a whole slew of shareholder derivative actions and options backdating. She's not pro-choice. So, a lot of times some of these women who are entering the political arena, it's like they're playing the game of politics like men play them, by saying whatever needs to be said to get them elected.
Right.
Whatever the crowd wants to hear, like Palin does, whether it's true or not. And I just hope women aren't sucked in voting for these women without really digging deep and looking closely at them, just as they would a male candidate. Yes, I would love to see more women in the Senate, you know, as governors, you know, everywhere.
Including Republican women, Sharon?
Yes. I've been a registered independent
for 20
great. Years.
Oh, wow.
I vote for a person and not a party. I refuse to drink the juice. when the Democratic Party sends me information asking for money, I don't give them money.
Mm-hmm.
I give money to a candidate, not a party.
Sharon, let me ask you to hold on 1 minute, and you can finish your thought when you come back, and then go to Dave in West Baltimore. You can finish talking about what you're talking about. We'll take a very brief break and come right back with Anthony McCarthy as you do a look at this election that happened yesterday. And the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by MeCube, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeCube, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeCube invests in you. Stop by one of its 7 branches or go to mecu.com for more information.
Support for WEAA is provided by
the Enoch Pratt Free Library. Author, singer, actress, and icon Pam Grier is coming to the Central Library on Monday, June 14th at 7 p.m. to discuss her new memoir, Foxy, My Life in 3 Acts. In her new book, Pam Grier opens up and lets the world into her life to witness her triumphs, failures, challenges, and loves. Pam Grier, Monday, June 14th, 7 p.m. at the Central Library. More information at prattlibrary.org. Your journey starts at the Enoch Pratt Free Library.
Anthony McCarthy and I are here talking about yesterday's elections. And Sharon, you want to finish what you were saying before we had to go to break? Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was basically finished. I just okay. wanted to, you know, I just hope that, you know, the women, because it's just like when Hillary Clinton came out. She had a lot of support from women because we wanted a woman mm-hmm. in the White House.
Right.
And she said a lot of things that she shouldn't have said. playing that political game. And I just think that we should be very cognizant of that. And, you know, we shouldn't, you know, dismiss a candidate based on, you know, their party or their race. But we should hold them to task for what they plan to do. And once they get into office, we should make sure they get it done.
Sharon, do you think there is a bigger, broader message that the progressives and the Democrats need to be listening to? It seems like, as Mark mentioned earlier in the show, it seems like the electorate is very volatile right now. People are mad.
Well, yeah. I mean, one of the things that, one of the reasons why I became an independent is because I felt as though Democrats only see people of color during election time. Mm. You know, they want to bring us to light and talk about what they want to do for the middle class and the poor. But then once they get into office, they become just like, you know, they become one of the good old boys. They're in that Senate club. They're in that, you know, where they're, you know, wined and dined and flown by lobbyists and, you know, given millions of dollars from huge corporations, and they forget what they were sent there to do.
Thank you for calling, Sharon. Great to hear your perspective.
Glad you're part of the show. Thank you so much. 410-319-8888. And Dave, you're on the air.
Yeah, how you doing, Mark?
Hi, Dave. Welcome.
Hey, Dave.
I just wanted to mention, I think there's a lot of short-term memory going on with a lot of the folks that are in the media. Barack Obama's been president about a year and a half right now. I can't think of a president, I was trying to while I was waiting, that has got as much accomplished in a year and a half as this guy's done, with all of the almost 100% of the Republicans fighting everything that he's trying to do. But yet we keep saying he hasn't done enough, but he's only been in office about 18 months, and he's gotten a health care bill passed that, I mean, the Clintons and, I mean, a whole bunch of people tried to get that done, and he was able to get it done. He's got an education bill passed. He's got the financial reform thing, and I think by the end of the year he'll probably have something done with immigration. But, and you know, instead of, you know, thinking about what has been done in a short period of time, we seem to be jumping on this bandwagon that, you know, he hasn't done enough. I mean, it's only been 18 months. I mean, look all the damage that was done in the past 8 years, you know, that you have to undo. It's almost like a fan. When it gets turned off, it still continues to go in one direction until it stops, and then you got to put it on another speed. I mean, I think we got to give the guy at least 2 years and then look back. I mean, they started measuring his success the first month he was in office, you know, and it's just unbelievable. And they blamed him for everything except the Kennedy assassination. You know, and I'm surprised they haven't looked back and found out where he was at that time.
Was he alive then? I don't know.
The other thing that is strange to me is that we're talking about the Tea Party. I mean, the Tea Party seems to me kind of like the guys that used to hang around at the racetrack, and I think they called them touts. You'd go up to a guy and say, hey, play number one horse. Then you go to another guy and say, hey, play number two horse. Another guy, play number three. You go all the way up till you've hit all nine horses.
Hello?
Dave, what happened? We just lost Dave? Dave disappeared.
Dave was telling us an interesting story.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Dave. We didn't hang up on you. Something happened to the phones, and you and the other person calling behind you both went away. You want to all come back? Call back 410-319-8888. We'll get you back on the air here. There's a progressive critique of President Obama that he hasn't taken advantage of the opportunity to galvanize the American people, or to galvanize the Democrats in these elections.
And Mark, there is a certain amount of truth to the criticism that, you know, we were enamored with the election and the possibility of change that came with Barack Obama, but we have found that he does have close ties with Wall Street. He has surrounded himself with a lot of advisors that come directly from Wall Street. So when you start talking about reforming Wall Street and the financial institutions in our country, that's hard when the captains of those industries are in the White House with this president. There is some concern by progressives on social issues that he hasn't moved fast enough with the promises he made to gays and lesbians, that he has not moved fast enough in reshaping the courts at the lower level, not just the Supreme Court, but the lower level. His appointments tend to be more conservative than progressive. And so, you know, I understand what Dave was saying. It's certainly, you know, to critique him at this point, right, and say a one-termer, that would be hard to say. But, Mark, there is this growing whisper that soon will be a shout that progressives are disappointed in the leadership of this president.
And I think that's true. And I think there's a lot of strong arguments, people who think that Obama's being attacked in ways other presidents have not been attacked. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that's true necessarily. I think that race does play a part in that, but I think that there is some substance to some of the disagreements with the way President Barack Obama is handling certain things. And we'll see. I mean, there's articles today talking about how President Barack Obama has not done enough to ensure Democratic victories in the fall for
his
own party members. He's being criticized for that. And this election, before we go back to the phones and go to Amy, is also seeing its share of a lot of people who seem a little off. Great. I mean, I like people who are a little off. A tad
I do
off
too,
plumb.
Actually.
But really, this woman who ran in California, Orly Tates, who got 368,000 votes and lost.
368,000.
Ran for the Secretary
votes.
Of State. And she was one of the birthers.
Oh, Lord.
Saying that
Barack Obama was not born in the United States, therefore cannot be president of the United States.
I mean, she's one of the leaders of that movement.
Well, Mark, also in Nevada, the Republican candidate who was bested by one of the Tea Party candidates yesterday said, you know what, maybe we should go back to a time when you bartered for health care. You could bring chickens to your doctor. You could bring some baked goods. And she was serious. And you know, health care is a very serious topic for us to be bartering chickens and things.
We're talking about Angle, the woman who A-N-G-L-E, who mm-hmm. won, who's going to be facing Reed.
Who's going to be facing Reed. So it's, as you said, Mark, and even all this weirdness in South Carolina around Republican bloggers and Republican activists coming forward to say they had affairs with the gubernatorial candidate. And who cares if they did or didn't?
I mean,
it's
such
so
a specious
stupid.
Thing.
I mean, that's
the,
right.
The media just eats this up. But this and the just one other humor, not really humorous, but sort of humorous aside, is this fellow who won the South Carolina Democratic Senate race that no one has ever really heard of before. No one.
He never campaigned.
Had no money.
No money. Just put his name in.
An unemployed veteran who won the race, and now it turns out that he's been charged with
a felony.
A felony. Showing porn to a college student or something, and then trying to go to her room and post his own bail, and I mean for a black man in South Carolina to run in a Tea Party state and have this
against Jim DeMint. I mean, they could not wait, and trust and believe they had this information, and I don't think anyone thought he was going. No one knew who he was. And all of a sudden, he's the candidate for one day. And guess what? Then we find out that there's some issues.
It brings joy to a lot of racist hearts.
Oh, boy. There's some folks in South Carolina who are really happy right now.
410-319-88. And that's just our aside. The rest is a very serious conversation.
Yeah,
but we just have to sometimes. 410-319-8888. Amy, you're on the air.
Hi, Mark. Hi, Anthony.
Hi, Amy.
Hi, welcome.
I just wanted to say, you know, when President Barack Obama was elected, everybody was afraid to be critical because, you know, it was a historic moment.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But,
right.
You know, we only get one opportunity every 2 years to make sure that people are held accountable for the things that we want, and that's during the elections. And I think that we're seeing it in both parties now. You know, as I'm a real progressive, I'm a real left-leaning liberal, and I do feel angry, and I don't feel necessarily like I have to, even though, like, I feel like I'm a Democrat till I die, I don't necessarily feel like I have to show up for these folks who aren't supporting us in the way that we really want, you know. And I appreciate the comments that the former caller made about how much Barack Obama has accomplished. But, you know, with the health care bill, I'm sorely disappointed in it. You know, without mm-hmm. a public option, I don't really know that it's really more about health insurance. So we haven't truly changed things the way I think progressives wanted to see things done.
I think that is one of the areas of criticism, along with a number of others. I think people have said that this White House has, for progressives, have lost the opportunity, or losing the opportunity, when there's a great deal of anger from right to left and anything in the middle in this country around corporate power, around big oil, big coal, big health insurance companies, Wall Street. That there's a tenor of pain and anger in America that could have been tapped into, but this White House and leadership has not tapped into it. And I think that what our next segment is going to be about the banking bill, because we want to talk about what's in there and what's not in there, what people need to know in terms of their conversations around the water cooler and the barbershop, and to how to talk to our congressmen and senators about what we want in this bill. And, you know, when we talk about the health care bill, there's one piece of it that I was talking about this morning, I've been writing about this morning, which is that sometimes progressives come up with stuff that just doesn't relate to people as a problem. People can't buy into it. And I think that whether it's the way we use words even. Who knew what single-payer really meant?
Mm-hmm.
You know, people said, what does that mean? You know, if people kind of understood that it was just a simple pass-through, it was Medicare for all, it might have had a different ring in people's heads and hearts, but we didn't. And so people were pushed into a corner where it's socialist medicine and the government taking over. And I think that if progressives have talked about this being Medicare for all, it's nothing but a infrastructure move that allows the marketplace on the sides and doctors to go back to private practice and kind of governing hospitals more in terms of what they can buy and can't buy and raising rates. People might have had a greater chance, but we use things, I think, sometimes that are almost foreign to most people's ears, and people have a hard time relating to it.
And, Mark, I think that Amy was on to something. I think that the honeymoon for Barack Obama is over. And I think that, you know, that's the reality is setting in, that if a progressive agenda is going to be pushed forward, it may not necessarily be Barack Obama who's going to be the advocate for a progressive agenda. And I think that we're going to see in November how much damage has been done to the Democratic Party and how much wind is in the sail of the Tea Party and the Republican Party when these folks – already we see some candidates, some senators have lost their seats. And so it's going to be interesting to see where we go.
Anthony McCarthy, thank you so much for joining us in the studio, Mark, for this part of the show.
Always great to be with you, brother.
Have a good show on Friday.
I'll be here on Friday.
And Monday we'll be joined by Pam Grier for part of our show.
That's going to
be an interesting thinker, not just a movie star from the early 70s. Well, that's next week.
Anthony, thanks, Mark.
Thanks so much.
Great to be with you.
I want to remind you that the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health researchers are conducting a study looking at how people use the Internet to find health information. If you or someone you know has ever used the Internet and is 35 years or older and healthy, you may qualify. Qualified participants will complete an one-time online computer exercise at the Hopkins Medical School campus. All participants will receive compensation for their time and effort. You can call 443-287-4772, and please refer to online health study in your call to them. We're going to take a very brief break, like literally just seconds, and come right back with Heather Booth, who is Executive Director of Americans for Financial Reform, as we look at this bank bill winding its way through Congress. Stay with us.